Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. In the battle between real and virtual workplaces, it seems best to strike a balance. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is January 30th, and we're on the final day of our business article for this month, Balancing Real and Virtual Workplaces. I'm Naomi, and once again in the studio with me today are Josh and Joanna. Welcome back.
Hi.
Hello.
So we have covered kind of sort of in two days, two different perspectives, haven't we? What was the first?
Well, the first was having a real workplace, moving from a virtual workplace to a real one, and the benefits of that.
Okay. And what were some of the benefits?
Benefits were spontaneous brainstorming and being able to gather your workforce in one place just for a better interaction.
Mm-hmm. And maybe some delicious lunches as well.
There is that.
What was the second day focused on, Josh?
Well, we got to know a company called Dolphin Corp, which has gone virtual and set up a decentralized workforce around the world with their 51 employees. And that was done largely driven, as we said, by the employees' desire to work remotely.
Right. They wanted to have that freedom. And so as a result, you know, the company sort of followed the trend that the employees were asking for.
That's right. They wanted to sit in their backyard and look at the deer while they were working. But then we also said that it made them easier to attract talent, to draw from a talent pool that's wider and broader that wasn't just limited to the Philadelphia area.
Okay. So clearly we can see that there are some real benefits in both cases, and it might be kind of hard to decide which one you think you would prefer for your workplace. But going back to the first day, can you tell me a little more about the company that we focused on?
Well, we learned about WildBit, which creates software, and we learned about the people who established it and their reasons for establishing it. Particularly, they entered themselves into a contest for an office makeover in order to, you know, help facilitate this small office.
Right. They are looking at this possibility of getting everyone under the same roof. And so they wanted to find out, well, how can we do this? What is the best way to do this? Why don't we enter this contest? And it's a contest for a $25,000 office makeover. Now, I love anything to do with makeovers, mm-hmm. makeover shows, makeover your home shows. I love watching those. I think they're so much fun because there's so many environments and people who have a lot of potential and they're just not totally reaching it. And so it's fun to see those transformations. But for a company like WildBit, winning a contest like this could be really significant for them.
Oh, yes. I think the ability to offer their employees new furniture, new computers, an exciting workplace. Over the last couple of days, we've been talking several times about the drab, boring cubicles. And I think a lot of companies in the U.S. especially are thinking about dynamic work environments with open floor plans and more exciting spaces to share and collaborate mm-hmm. in, and trying to kind of deviate from that boring existence that we think of in a work environment.
Right, moving away from those terrible cubicles that everyone seems to hate so much. So let's learn a little more about this contest. What happened? Well, we'll find out on page 41 as we look at our sidebar. Joanna, can you read it for us?
Yes. Alas, for WildBit, what they were asking for, a free office makeover, was not to be. Event sponsor Turnstone, a Michigan-based office furniture company, announced the five winners last month, and WildBit was not among them.
Aw. Well, as our title says, it's not whether you win or lose, but unfortunately, WildBit did lose this contest. And so when we talked to the owners, Natalie and Chris Nagelli, who we met on the first day, what did they have to say about that?
Well, they insist all the time involved in putting together their video entry was not wasted. It got them focused on what they love about being a small business with a sense of place and why they think it has made them a better company.
Okay. Do you want to explain that a little bit, Josh?
Well, I think they had to put together a short video promoting WildBit. And that's always interesting when you get to do your own promotions or toot your own horn. And that gave them the ability to look closely at their company and focus on its strengths and then share those with, in this case, Turnstone, the event sponsor. But now they could probably use that video on their website and to help attract new talent.
And according to what they just said, they feel like this gave them some perspective as well. It helped them to sort of take a step back and look at their company and understand what makes it special and what they love about it. And so they didn't get this $25,000 makeover, but what?
But for the two short rows of desks topped with 27-inch Macs and Dells, WildBit's office feels more like a home. There's a full kitchen, two bathrooms with showers, a washer and dryer, a couch, and the Nigelli's ever-present Yorkshire Terrier, Boss.
Oh, and we have a picture of the Boss, apparently, on page 42, if you want to have a look. Planning how an office is set up like that, I'm kind of surprised that they have all those facilities. Most offices probably wouldn't have those.
No, this is pretty progressive for an office. But for these offices full of young, creative people that want to live a life and work, they are combining these things. It is pretty popular to have more lifestyle amenities within the work environment for those, say, that want to cycle to work. Mm. You have a shower so you can clean up before the workday starts.
Well, I was also thinking when I read this sidebar, what would make you not want to leave your office at 5 o'clock right when the bell rings and you get to go home? What would make you feel okay with staying a couple hours later? And to make it feel more like a home and less like an office, I think is an important step in that direction.
Sure. And even things like, for instance, that washer and dryer. I mean, just getting my laundry done, that's a huge part of why I sometimes have to leave work right when the bell rings. I just have things I have to get done. And if I could do them at work while I'm working, I would feel great about that.
We've talked a little bit about Google, but Facebook is building a new campus for their 20,000 employees in the U.S. that's going to have on-site dry cleaning, restaurants, pretty much everything that you would normally have to go out and do in, quote, running errands will be done right on the Facebook campus.
Well, there you go. This kind of innovative thinking when it comes to offices could be why not everyone is going in that virtual direction. But as we'll learn today, it is really, again, about creating that balance. So let's find out how companies are doing that on page 42.
Creating a balance. With about half his workforce of 13 located outside the United States, WildBit's Chris Nigelli acknowledged the benefits of virtual office arrangements, mostly for his employees. "You can't easily distract someone," he said. "I can't walk over to someone's desk and say, 'What are you working on?' On the other hand, you can't replace our in-person meetings with Skype." Sitting right in the middle of the virtual versus real office debate is Michael Howard, president of American Executive Centers, operators of 7 fully equipped office facilities in the Philadelphia region. They even come with receptionists. American Executive has begun renovating its existing centers and building new ones to better accommodate those who want to report to an office each day and those who have virtual companies but occasionally need to hold a meeting in a more formal business setting. The new look at American Executive features bigger kitchens/break rooms to encourage more networking between clients and small private workstations for people who don't need a full office but a place to check mail or make calls. "That's a reaction to what people are asking for," Howard said.
So as we begin our reading today on page 42 in the left-hand column, line 14, we see that even for WildBit, who is a company that's moving toward the more physical side of this balance, they still have to work virtually as well.
Well, half of their workforce is located out in the United States, so there will have to be some virtual you know, office work involved. It's just, you can't help it.
Okay, and so the owner, Chris Nigelli, he acknowledged the benefits.
Yes, he gave credit to. He admits that there are benefits to the virtual office arrangement. And it says those benefits are mostly for his employees.
Not so much for him. Would you agree with that?
I think that's fair. As an employer who had employees working for him remotely, you do worry about whether they're putting in a full day's work working remotely for you or whether their attentions are distracted from the work they're doing. But those concerns are often outweighed by the benefits for the employees and keeping them happy.
Sure. And so some of the benefits for the employees that he mentions?
Well, there are less distractions. Someone's not going to walk over to your desk when you're in the work zone and, you know, say, hey, what's up? What are you doing? Huh? Yeah. Hey, you know, no distractions.
Right, which, of course, are very commonplace in any office. You are very likely to hear some kind of noise or some conversation going on. This certainly happens here.
You guys just need to get better headphones.
Yes.
My office is filled with web designers with the big headphones on that are totally tuning out the world, but they're often also extremely antisocial.
Right.
And difficult to make conversation with anyway.
Again, it's a little tricky, right? Because if you block out all the sound, maybe you won't engage at all. And that's the second thing that Chris is talking about here.
Yes, he says, on the other hand, in line 20, you can't replace our in-person meetings with Skype. So I think Chris is really conflicted on what's best for his work environment, whether it's the virtualized workforce of his 13 employees or whether it's on-site employees collaborating and brainstorming together in their in-person meetings, which is similar to the phrase face-to-face.
Right. Now, we keep talking about this balance that you're supposed to find, and it seems kind of elusive, sort of hard to grasp, hard to find. But we see in our next paragraph there that there's someone sitting right in the middle of this debate.
We're learning about Michael Howard, who's president of American Executive Centers, which operates 7 fully equipped office facilities in the Philadelphia region.
Okay, so their office facilities, 7 different ones, are they one company? Are they all doing the same kind of work?
No, these are companies that need a flexible work environment, and they come and usually lease space, whether it be a couple of workstations or a conference room, or sometimes they just need a receptionist, and they'll be able to then give this physical work address out to their customers and then use it periodically and pay kind of a rental fee based on what they need.
It's a pretty brilliant middle of the debate idea.
I think it's helpful for those people who like virtual workplaces but really need a physical place to settle down, and vice versa, people who like physical places, but perhaps it's not feasible to rent their own office all the time.
And okay. It's also a bit of a PR move, too, in terms of image control, where perhaps
sure.
You'd like to hire a company, but knowing that all their employees are working from home might make you feel uncomfortable. So the company will then use this temporary executive facility as their home base and put their customers' minds at ease.
So there you are in this office building with a receptionist, and there's all these other offices around you. There's a break room you can use. There's all of the facilities of a regular office, but you might be the only person from your company in that building. So it's kind of clever. And American Executive is really making the most of this. We see on line 27 that they are, well, it sounds like they're growing.
Well, they've begun renovating their existing centers, which means they're updating their centers. They're replacing perhaps broken or old equipment, making it newer, fresher, more attractive for people to come rent it.
Okay, and why are they doing that?
Well, they're accommodating the needs of their customers, those who want to report to an office each day. And that's a good verb, to report to something. We think of maybe a soldier reporting for duty. And sometimes we call use that phrase in our workforce, that they are reporting to work each day. And if you need an office, you can find it here at the American Executive Center, or those who have virtual companies but just need to hold perhaps a meeting in a more formal business setting.
Right, because if you say, why don't you come to my living room for a meeting, it doesn't sound very professional. And, I mean, some people feel great about meeting at a coffee shop, but for some clients, it might not be quite what you're looking for. So when you need that more formal business setting, this sounds like a good alternative. What else do they offer?
Well, they're offering bigger kitchens and break rooms to encourage more networking between clients. I think that partly goes back to are talking about the workplace that's more like a living place, somewhere where you can feel comfortable, not stifled. That helps brainstorming instead of limiting it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting that these folks who normally, maybe even just a few years ago, were just, you know, renting out a single cubicle or an office, and that's where they went. They even needed physical interaction with people from whole other industries or companies.
Right.
And so now they're providing these places for folks to network with each other. And networking just means talking to someone in a business setting, getting to know them, exchanging information, and perhaps staying in touch in the future to see if you could refer them business or vice versa.
Right. And even if you don't have the budget to rent a whole office for yourself, it sounds like there's other options too.
Well, if you just need your own private workspace, maybe a place to make professional calls without a background noise like a coffee shop or your home with your family, that's possible too. You can just rent a small place to get your work done instead of a whole office.
And it sounds like Michael Howard, the president, has a pretty good philosophy about business.
That's right. He says that's a reaction to what people are asking for. And that is definitely a key to successful business, is responding correctly to your customers' desires.
So what is out there? What is the need? And then addressing that need. That's exactly what he's doing. This actually, it reminds me of an article we ran a couple of years ago about workspaces in coffee shops that worked in a very similar way, where there was a group fax machine and, you know, a boardroom and so on that you could use. But then people had their own individual workstations. And they also reported a lot of success with that model. It's something that's a bit of a compromise for people, again, striking that balance.
I do a lot of business work inside Starbucks, and my only complaint is that their blenders are too loud. I think they should be a little more considerate of us worker bees trying to work inside their facilities.
All right. Well, you'll have to mention that to them. All right. Well, let's back to our article for our final reading as we continue to learn a little more about WildBit.
WildBit had entered the Turnstone contest as much for advice on how to achieve the delicate balance of providing both quiet workstations and collaboration areas, as they did for the free furniture, Chris Nagelli said. As word has spread about the new office, especially the lunches, to WildBit employees abroad, more people are interested in moving to the U.S., Natalie Nagelli said. For now, WildBit will continue to bring its employees together for a retreat twice a year, usually held at a rented villa in a foreign locale. July's destination? Turkey. Or possibly Mallorca.
So we're just getting back to the contest that we mentioned at the beginning of our day today that WildBit entered for that office makeover. And we learn a little more about that story here.
Well, it sounds like he was trying to achieve his own balance within his office, trying to get the balance of providing a quiet workstation and also collaboration areas, places where people could talk and get together. How can you get both in the same place?
Right.
That's right. And since it was sponsored by a furniture company, it sounds like that advice was made available to contest entrants. So it wasn't just about the money for WildBit.
Or just about the free furniture, as Chris Nagelli says. It's interesting. They call it that delicate balance. And delicate balance, I mean, usually when I think of delicate, I think of a lady who's, you know, very proper. It's a funny term to apply to something like this.
Well, a delicate balance is something that could easily be tipped over in one direction or another. If you've ever played Jenga, that game with the wooden blocks that you stack and try to stack on top of each other, that is a delicate balance.
Ooh, great example. It's true because it doesn't take much for it to come crashing down. And I think that that is what they're trying to explain here, that it's very easy for it to go too far in one direction or the other.
Right. We might say there's a fine line between offering your employees too much freedom or stifling creativity inside an office.
Okay. So the goal of achieving that balance and finding out how to make an office work to its very best ability, that's a big part of what Krishnajelly is interested in.
Yes, he wants to make both sort of work areas accessible to his employees, especially since he's trying to pull away from that virtual workplace and be more of a real workplace.
And it sounds like it's had some success so far, even without that makeover.
It says, word has spread. And that's definitely what companies want to happen, word to spread about them so that they'll have companies call them and learn more about their services. So it says that word has spread about their new office that offers these dual environments and their free lunches.
Ah, yes. And this has spread even to those people living overseas.
Yes, it sounds like more people are interested in moving to the U.S. And remember when we talked about the problem of maybe not many people who are qualified want to move to your small town or moving costs. If you make your workplace attractive enough, perhaps your employee will move on their own.
Mm. But for now, they still have a solution to helping people avoid that feeling of loneliness that can come from being a bit isolated in their working environment.
That's right, and it's another great perk. My goodness, I think I'm going to send the Najellis my resume. In this case, they're taking their employees away on a retreat twice a year.
Ooh, that sounds nice. Twice a year, that's quite impressive. Where do they go?
Well, they are going to Turkey, perhaps, or possibly Majorca.
Ooh, so they hold these at a rented villa in a foreign locale. It sounds really like a lot of fun, probably very relaxing.
Yes. My company, we rent a hotel room in a city next to ours and just have it in the conference room. Not very exciting at all. But company retreats we talked about a couple days ago is this idea of bringing the key employees off-site away from the normal workplace and doing exercises around business planning, around team building, and getting to know each other better, which in the case of WildBit is important since 13 of them live outside the U.S.
Mm, and I think especially when it comes to that issue of brainstorming that we were talking about, I mean, at a good creative retreat, you might get a year's worth of brainstorming done in a couple of days.
That's right.
I think I could brainstorm pretty well in Turkey.
Or Spain.
It does seem like the best location for me.
Yeah, I think we better start packing our bags right now. But while we're doing that, let's go to today's feature.
Welcome to another edition of Advanced Technology Today. I'm your host, Skip Fax. And today we peer into the virtual office. How does it work? Does it work? Well, my guest, Rick Database, has all the answers. Right, Rick?
Yes, I do, Skip. Great to be here on the show again. I love this topic.
Rick, you used to work for Mega Computers as their head of technical research. But last year, you started your own company, Sophisticated Software. Why the switch?
Well, Skip, I enjoyed working for Mega Computers, and their CEO, Mr. Schmedley, is a genius. But I'm a bit of a free spirit, so I needed to branch out on my own.
How many employees does Sophisticated Software have?
We have a talent pool of 20 freelancers, Skip, and they are all located all around the globe.
And they all work from their own homes like you?
Yes, they do. For instance, I renovated my den to be an office. I have a nice fireplace and a great view out a large window looking at the mountains.
Now, how do you hold meetings with all of these people?
We usually have two brainstorming sessions a week, which we use a video conferencing program for. It works great. We're all on at the same time.
And all of the work is done online and transmitted to your computer?
Yes, it's very efficient, and we don't spend a lot of money on office space.
What about getting lonely? I would think that some homebound employees might feel isolated working remotely.
We have photos of all of our people taped up on the walls. That way, I counteract any feelings of loneliness by looking at their pictures.
Well, if that works for you, then I guess it's okay. We're just about out of time. Thank you, Rick Database, for being on the show today.
Always a pleasure, Skip.
All right, well, it's been a really fascinating few days talking about all the different pros and cons with virtual and office-bound workplaces. Any final thoughts?
I think both directions sound interesting and worth more research. I'm intrigued in the improvements in office spaces and also the perks of working with your computer instead of on location.
You make a good point. It feels like actually there's progress in both areas these days, and that's really good to remember because it's not like one is suddenly the way of the future. Both options can be improved.
That's right. And I think as employees are more and more connected to the company via smartphones and on computers all the time, we do need to be more respectful of their personal time.
Okay, that's a great point, too, making sure that people do feel like their free time is respected and that the other interests in their life aren't being pushed aside by their work. We would love to hear your thoughts on this. I'm sure a lot of you work virtually or you have ideas about workplaces to share. How can they get in touch with us?
Well, they can find us on Studio Classroom or our Facebook page.
Right, or you can write us a good old-fashioned email, letters@studioclassroom.com. Thanks so much for being with us for these last few days, and we look forward to being with you again soon for another fascinating article here on Advanced. Until then, this is Naomi,
Joanna,
and Josh
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.